Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey friends, welcome to a new mini-series from Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Whiffler and my co-host Emily Jensen will be joining me soon as we kick off our whole series. But first things, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever felt like you lost a piece of yourself in motherhood? Maybe thinking about that question stings a little bit, or maybe it's a big weight off your chest to finally say it out loud. We can all admit that motherhood changes us in both good and challenging ways. But if you've ever looked in the mirror and wondered if God cares about you beyond your role as mom, friend, he really does. That's why this series is all about what makes us whole, not just as moms, but as women created by God to love and serve him in all areas of life. Over the next few months, we're going to look at how all these little threads of inspiration and moments of sanctification are making us, us. From learning something new to taking risks, building friendships, and practicing forgiveness, we're going to explore all these things that sometimes we feel like we lose in motherhood, but they're never truly lost. Okay, so before we jump into the first episode of the series, I want to tell you about a few announcements since we last chatted. First off, friends, I am thrilled to tell you about my next children's picture book, A World Wonder, which releases super soon on March 5th, 2024. If you haven't heard about the book yet, I wrote this book to encourage boys and girls everywhere to dream big and believe that they can change the world. But at the same time, I wrote this book to show children that it's often the small, humble things we do with the people we love that bring happiness and fulfillment to our lives. If you're looking for a picture book to help encourage your kids to pursue their big dreams with Christian virtues in mind, my prayer is this book will meet that need. When you pre-order, there are a whole bunch of awesome freebies waiting for your kids too. All of the freebies were designed for you to be able to take the book further, and they're awesome if you're homeschooling, for family discipleship, or for use in Sunday schools. We have a dream journal, we have an activity pack, and we even have these really sweet keepsake letters that you can do with your child. So I encourage you to go check them out. All the links for pre-ordering or getting your pre-order bonuses can be found in our show notes. Second, we are diving into a lot of topics throughout this series, so we created a free workbook to go along with each show. This is your chance, mom, to get creative, write bold prayers, and really think about where God may be growing you this season. We hope this workbook encourages you to step outside the box and maybe even share with a friend a few ways you want to pursue the passions and interests God has given you. This is free when you sign up for our email list, so head over to risenmotherhood.com/whole to snag yours. Okay, let's get to the show.
So we think this is a common experience in motherhood, but I know that after I became a mom, especially like after having multiple kids, one day I kind of woke up and realized I didn't feel like myself anymore. There were so many things that were in my life pre-kids that were no longer in my life in the same way post-kids. Did you have that experience?
Yeah, I think it was maybe a little different for me. I feel like I don't recall like any even season of kind of waking up to the fact that I had somehow sort of lost myself to motherhood in a season. But I certainly would say now, with the years of looking back, that like those were many years as being a young mom with young children at home, where I lost a lot of things and I felt like I did lose my identity and I had to regain it. And I remember a lot of that was in, you know, disposable time, like just having decisions about where my time goes and how it's spent, and interruptions, you know, became a new thing for me. Certainly, I think young motherhood brought in a new type of even mental capacity for me. And whereas I used to be able to do a lot more, I felt like my world got much smaller. And kind of in a weird way, I think there was also a loss of like kindness to myself, because for the first time, especially in young motherhood, I started to see a lot of my failures, right? We all talk about how motherhood is sanctifying and it brings out some of those things that have been probably hidden over the years. And so I would say that as I look back, I can see how there was just a loss of generosity or kindness to myself that I didn't really realize was happening, but it happened.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, making a major generalization here, this is a common feeling
that
moms have. You're kind of going about your life. You know, you have maybe a career that you like, your schedule's in order. You've got a little bit of a workout routine down. You've got certain clothes that you like to wear. You have places you like to go with your friends. Maybe you travel with your spouse, whatever that looks like. And then children change things, you know, and all of this, I think, can lead to a feeling of loss, you know, and there can be a sense after having children, like, oh, I've lost maybe a level of health or being able to take care of my body that I once had. Or like you said, my mental load has really increased. And now I don't feel like I have the mental clarity or the problem solving skills that I had before. It even changes, you know, our marriage relationships and those dynamics. And maybe we feel like we lose a little bit of a certain connection that we had with our spouse or like an energy and like an intimacy in our relationship. And even I think there can be this sort of sense that we have to only focus on essential things and there's no more time or capacity to do something that's just for fun, just to enjoy, that seems like it's like outside of the scope of what our children need in that very moment. And that's probably why a lot of moms talk about survival mode. Do you remember ever being in survival mode?
I mean, am I still in it a little bit? Yeah. Certain days, seasons. Survival mode is such a common thing, or we say we're in the trenches, right? That's another common mom phrase. And it just kind of means like, hey, we can't think ahead. That is one of the biggest things I remember feeling like, I have lost my ability to plan ahead and think ahead. And it wasn't even like, at times I had capacity to do it, like in a sense of literal time, but like my brain was like mush and I could, it's like, you just can't do it. You know,
like all you can do is react to what's coming at you instead of being able to be a little bit more proactive and plan and like strategize about things. It feels like I am in this battle right now. And like, I need to stay focused and get this person food and find this person shoes and, you know, deal with this text message or phone call that's been pinging at me that I'm avoiding. And sometimes I think when we've been living in that for a long period of time, there is just a sense that like we're disoriented. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when we're living our lives like so fixated from one moment to the next moment to the next moment, and we're not able to like zoom back and think about why does all of this matter? And, you know, how is this affecting me? And is this the way that I want to be living my life? And we don't have that moment to kind of like zoom back out. All of it can start to feel very repetitive and meaningless and frustrating. And it leads to this feeling that we want to be talking about during this series of like having sort of lost ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we titled the series Whole because there was this element, I think, that you and I went through over the past handful of years where we felt like, oh, we are whole people. We are not just only moms. But that is what happens is you kind of like your whole world orbits around your role as a mom, which is good. It's God designed. It's like such a wonderful gift from God. But you're right. We can kind of wake up and feel like a shadow of our former selves. And we can feel like, I think that sometimes a mom will experience this the moment she has a baby, right? Like some moms are listening to this and they're like, I just had my first baby or I am pregnant and I don't know who I am. But other moms, it can take many, many years to sort of wake up to that realization. And so I think like no matter where someone is listening into this, reality is like at some point you're going to feel like this, even if maybe you're not experiencing it now. And it's also okay if you're experiencing it with just one child.
Yeah, it does seem like with motherhood, we're kind of prone to two ditches and maybe especially in kind of the Christian world, these are some things that we see. And one is that we can get so focused on motherhood after becoming a mom that like you were saying, that our children, our home becomes kind of like the sun that we orbit around. And it's almost like God is out there. He's like a moon. We see him, you know, out of the corner of our eye all the time. And we know that like our faith exists and that we want to worship him. But in terms of like our functional lives and the way that we orient our hearts and we spend our time, it can feel like we are totally and completely and wholly locked into who we are as a mom and what that means for our lives. But then like on the other side of that ditch and just kind of the other extreme that we can go to is almost like protectively sort of like holding motherhood at an arm's length out of fear of what it's going to take from us. And, you know, clinging tightly to the things that we feel like we need, we deserve, we have to have in order to be, you know, the kind of woman that we want to be. And then anytime we feel like our kids or our family are maybe taking a little bit too much from us, or we're not able to have the things that we desire in life, we can get a little bit angsty. And so there's kind of like those two sides that I think all of us probably at different times in our motherhood in different ways have fallen into one or more of those ditches, like maybe even in the same day. But we really want to take a series to explore what it looks like to think of ourselves as Christian women who are following the Lord, who are whole in Him, who are finding our identity in Him, and recognizing that He is really the one who we orient our whole lives around, not our motherhood.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that it took me a long time to really realize, I think in the early 2000s, golly, when did I become a mom? Not until like 2013. So, okay, fast forward many years from Laura's original timeline, but when I first had my children, it was very common and popular to say motherhood is your highest calling. That was like everywhere, right? And I think that it took me a long time to somewhat unpack that and understand that no, actually, motherhood is a calling that I've been entrusted with. It is a very high calling, but it is not the highest. My highest calling is as a Christian woman following God. And I think that that can help adjust when we understand that we, to be whole, to be fully understanding our identity, we have to understand that we are Christ followers first, above all else. That will really change your paradigm for how your priorities look, for how you consider things, for the importance that you give your role as a mom and your role in work or other spheres and spaces that you're in. And it does come back so often to that, just that question of identity, of like, where are you putting your hope in? Is it in your ability to do everything, to work and be mom and, you know, make home-cooked meals and do all those things? Is it to just be mom? Like, oh, everything's sacrificed at the altar of motherhood? Or is it where you say, nope, I'm going to follow Christ first and recognize that sort of this is a juggling act's not the right word. And I don't like balancing act in motherhood. I can't quite think of the right word, but you know, there's a give and a take in our roles in different seasons. And our primary identity can't rest in our comforts, and it can't rest in our role as motherhood. It has to rest in Christ. And I know there's this thing that's been going around on Instagram. And I mean, I think it's been on motherhood blogs for years and years where they talk about flamingos. Have you heard this before?
When I saw it for the first time, I was like, what?
I know.
It's pretty crazy.
It is really wild. I love science and how it like plays into, you know, the parallels that we find in our lives. And so with flamingos, if you guys haven't heard this, perhaps you have, but when they become a parent, so this happens to male and female flamingos, yes. Primarily, though, we compare it to motherhood. But when they become a parent, they often lose their pink color because they are giving so much of themselves, of their nutrients, of their protection, of their safety and warmth to their little chick. There's probably another word for a flamingo baby. I don't know.
I was going to call them like egglings.
And I'm like, is that what it is?
No. Oh. I totally just, that word popped into my mind.
Egglings. I like it. I'm going to go chick for today's purposes. There's probably we need to look that up. What's a flamingo baby called? But they're giving so much to their babies that they lose their pink color, which is so iconic, right? It's like what you feel like kind of defines the flamingo. And what often goes hand in hand with this in the motherhood sphere is that they say, don't let motherhood take your pink. Mm-hmm. And what I think is interesting is that it's actually like, no, motherhood must take your pink. I mean, nature is proving that through the flamingo, that is what is required in order to raise these little chicks. And yet, eventually, over time, the mom and dad flamingo get their pink color back. I think that is the hope and the promise, is that at some point, you know, we're going to come back around out of motherhood. You sort of come up for this big, deep breath of air, and we actually discover, oh, no, we are still whole women with whole interest, with, you know, whole needs and desires and wants. And actually, motherhood does not have to dominate those or take that forever. But for a time, I think it is right and appropriate that motherhood takes a lot from us. And so Emily and I are speaking from the other side of this and hoping to give moms, whoever's listening, you encouragement if perhaps your pink is very faded. Or if you are kind of in the area where we are and you're kind of rediscovering what it looks like to be whole motherhood or whole personhood, just to give you encouragement. So that's what our series, we want to talk about.
So today we're going to just dive in a little bit on this thought of loss. And we've already talked a little bit about some of the things that we tend to lose when we become moms, but I think when we look scripturally, we very clearly see that not all loss is bad in the Christian life. First of all, children, just like what you were saying, absolutely need us to lay down things and sacrifice so that they can have what they need, so that they can thrive and grow. And that's going to impact our lives. Like, and that's a good thing. It's God designed. And I mean, we don't have a record of this, obviously, pre-fall, but like, even Eve's life would have been impacted by giving birth to a child. Like, even pre-fall, there would have been ripple effects there would have been changes in the way that she could go about her day. Like, I think that's just a normal, good, God-designed thing, right? We see it in nature. You see it in flamingos. And then when we are thinking in terms of a spiritual parallel for the Christian life, God absolutely says that sacrifice and losing ourselves and laying down our life is a sign of great love. And there are so many scriptures that we could quote on this, but obviously Jesus is our greatest example of this. And he says in John 15:13, that greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And that's ultimately what he does. He emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men, and he died on a cross for our sins. He lost his life so that we could live. And this is the Savior that we follow. Obviously, we're going to be called to lose some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other piece of that, though, is that not all loss is permanent, you know? And so I think we often think, especially when we enter into motherhood and we start to perhaps grieve who we felt like we once were, that that loss is permanent and that loss is bad. And so, you know, I appreciated the encouragement that you share, just that not all loss is bad. And then not all loss is permanent, that sometimes we lose things and we let go of things that God never gives back. That does happen. But other times it's just for a season. And in many cases in motherhood, those initial losses are more temporary. And so we can come out of those survival mode years, and there is a season where they aren't taking so much physically from us, and that we can have a little bit of space. Maybe, you know, they're able to read books and watch shows, or, you know, just do some things without being completely attached to you. And so then we can start to think about, well, what is my role as a mom? Yes, but also as a wife, as a coworker, as a neighbor, as an aunt. And I mean, it's actually really fun when we're able to sort of lift our eyes up and start to think holistically about our lives. And again, we just want to reiterate, we know that all moms are kind of in different places. And so our hope is with this series is that you're going to find one or two practical things from every episode that you can apply and do it in small ways. Or for some of you, you may feel like, whoa, I can really make a big change here. And like, I really want to practice this new thing as part of this whole series.
Yeah, just kind of even thinking back to Jesus, because sometimes we experience things in life and it feels very clear and obvious, but then we've got to go back to scripture and say, is this model really there? Is this really what God's word teaches? But we think even looking at the life of Christ shows this really interesting kind of picture that Jesus had an incredibly specific mission, right? Yeah, like we can summarize it in one sentence. He came, God as man, to live a perfect life on our behalf, to die on our behalf, and to be raised from the dead, to have victory over death.
And you could even say, like, he came to save us from our sins.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I mean, just like super simple.
Like there's his mission.
Yeah.
And yet it wasn't like every single thing that he did clearly connected to that mission in his time on earth. And it did connect. We're going to get there. But like he also went to weddings and parties, and he also had friendships and relationships, and he also was trained as a carpenter, and he also spent time with friends and family, and he also spent time alone in God's creation. And we can assume that probably sometimes he sang and he played, and we know that he learned and he told stories. And so it's interesting because I think that connects with motherhood a little bit, because every single thing that Jesus did ultimately was in submission to his Father's will. And it was exactly what he should have been doing. And he did everything perfectly. And yet some of it, if we were being super like, I don't know, linear or like literal in our thinking, we would go, well, how does going to a wedding connect with like his mission to live a perfect life and die on the cross and, you know, be raised to save us from our sins? And yet like, it does.
Yeah.
And anyway, so it's just, there's something really interesting there.
Yeah. I think we have a tendency to want to compartmentalize, right? Like, this is going to advance my motherhood. This is going to advance my career. This is going to advance my relationships and friendships. And yet Jesus's life shows us that there isn't all these divisions and that all of them are playing together in order for us to do what our mission is here on earth, which is to go and make disciples, to spread the gospel, the good news. And, you know, it's so great because in motherhood, we talk a lot about, oh, and Em and I say this all the time, you know, the disciples are in your home and they're in stocking pajamas feet and all that kind of stuff. And that's so true. But also there are far more other ways that we can make disciples, and that as moms, it's not that we put that on hold. We're able to do both, you know, and that's something that I think we can often just kind of be like, well, it's only my children right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it is your children. It absolutely is your children. And that is, you know, should be a comfort to us. It's a good reminder, but sometimes it might even get overused to a point where then we're like, well, we're not going to really look outside the four walls of our home. Mm-hmm. But Jesus shows us that actually, no, we need to live as whole people, and we can have impact in different spheres and know that that is actually helping to make disciples of the little children in our home. That as we talk to the neighbor, that as we go to our coworker, that as we have a job potentially or whatever it is, all of those things contribute to the way that we are carrying out our mission on earth. And it's impacting the little disciples we have.
Mm-hmm. And going back to that orbit, I think as we're making disciples, what we're doing is showing our children, hey, mom has lost her life for Christ. Like, her whole focus, the person that she orbits everything around, is the Lord. And that's who she's taking her cues from.
Not the children.
Not the children. And so it's really interesting because Jesus actually talks about this a little bit. There is this scene where, like, he's kind of standing next to his family and somebody's saying, hey, that's your mother over there and whatnot. And then he's like, no, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And essentially what he's telling that person there is not like, I don't care about my mom or my brothers, but what he's saying is there's an order here. Yeah. There's a priority. My ultimate eternal family is spiritual. There's also a moment where a man is saying, hey, Jesus, I want to come follow you, but I need to go bury my father first. And Jesus, like, rebukes him and is in essence like, let the dead bury their own dead. And it's kind of a weird exchange, but if you read about that a little bit more and think about it in the context that it was going on there, he was in essence saying, hey, don't use cultural traditions and norms and things that, like, you feel are a priority to you to delay following me and losing everything, right? Jesus is showing us that there is no part of our lives that we can hold back. In fact, there's this really, like, sort of offensive to our ears statement that Jesus says. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Like, I think for us as moms, like,
hard.
That is like a little bit of a cringe. Like, what do you mean? Hate my husband, my children, you know, all those different things. And of course, Jesus is not literally saying, hate your family. But what he's doing is showing a comparison. And this whole story happens in the context of where he's talking about a man who starts to build a house. And he's like, the man counts the cost of the house before he gets started so that he doesn't get halfway through and then decide to quit when he realizes how much it's going to take. Jesus is saying, no, you got to be willing to give up everything to follow me. I have to be the whole center of your life. There is nothing that you can cling to that you want, not even your children, not even your husband, not even your mom and dad, not even your brothers and sisters. And that's really, really challenging to us. That is what he says.
That is a hard call. It is some intense words, but it's also in some ways so freeing, because as you were saying that, I kept thinking of all these stories that I hear of just, you know, husbands failing, children failing, that parents who have their identities wrapped up in their children, it is utterly devastating. I mean, it's devastating no matter what, but it's a whole different ball game when that has been your orbit and that they are your salvation. And I think sometimes as moms, we can kind of operate like that, right? That our children's success, their kindness, their politeness, their behaviors are sort of what is going to define us or call us good or bad as a mom. It's going to tell us if we're successful or not. But ultimately, as you noted with Christ, he's saying, nope, it is all about me. It is all about following me wholly, completely, freely. And at the end of the day, it's not about the work that we do, the effort that we put in, because we know that sometimes doesn't work out, mm-hmm. even with the best of efforts, the best of intentions. And so there is an element of us losing ourselves, not to motherhood, but losing ourselves to Christ in order to become whole. And so that is what this series is about. If we have not pounded it home enough on this episode, we want to talk about what does it look like to lose ourselves to God.
So in this series, we're going to also be thinking just about the whole counsel of God, like all the gifts that he's given us, all the different things that he has called us to do. And we're going to be exploring topics like awe, being amazed at what he's created. We're going to talk about what it means to start taking risks again as moms, or forgiving others in areas where maybe we've been hurt. We're going to be talking about, you know, some of the things you mentioned in the beginning of being kind to ourselves, like having dignity in our lives as women. We're going to talk about learning new things, creating things,
yeah,
enjoying stories. So we're going to be digging into a lot of things, right, on a motherhood podcast that don't feel like they're super clearly motherhood related, but we really, really believe that as we are whole women who follow God and we enjoy all of the different gifts and blessings that he's given us, and we add all of that into our lives, that it is going to overflow into our motherhood.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Hey, this is Elizabeth Santelman from Oklahoma City. I've been following Risen Motherhood for about 5 years now, and I absolutely love being a part of the community because on a platform of performance and self-elevation, Emily and Laura are here to help us remember that the gospel transforms even the most mundane moments of motherhood.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.